from the Sand Castle by Marduk. The chief buildings of St. Bride's were grouped unevenly around a large square of asphalt, which was called the playground. Also, the one thing that was strictly forbidden therein was playing. The buildings consisted of four tall red brick blocks. Main school, which contained the hall and most of the senior classrooms. Library, which contained the library and more classrooms and which was built close against main school. Schoolhouse opposite to library, where the scholars ate and slept. And physics room and gym opposite the main school, which contained the gymnasium, some laboratories, the administrative offices, and two flats for resident masters. More taught history and occasionally Latin at St. Bride's. He enjoyed teaching and knew that he did it well. His authority and prestige in the school stood high, higher than that of any other master. Moore was well aware of this too, and it consoled him more than a little for failures in other departments of his life. "Rigdon," said Moore. A long silence followed. Moore was taken the fifth form Latin class, a chore which sometimes came his way during the absence on sick leave of Mr. Basford, the classics master. It was a hot afternoon, the first period after lunch, a time which Moore hated. A fly buzzed on the window. 20 boys sat with the elegies of properties open before them. Rigdon clearly could make nothing of the line in question. "Come on, Rigdon," said Moore rather wearily. "Have a bash. You can translate the first word anyway. You," said Rigdon. He was a slight crazy-looking boy with a small head. He idolized Moore. His inability to please him was one of the tragedies of his school days. He leaned intently over his book. "That's right," said Moore. "And the second word." A yell of uncontrolled laughter went up in the next room. That was Mr. Prewitt's mathematics class. Prewitt was unhappily quite unable to keep order. Moore knew that keeping order was a gift of nature, but he could not but despise Prewitt a little all the same. Moore himself had but to look at the boys and they fell silent. "Only," said Rigdon. "Yes," said Moore. "Now go on." Rigdon stared wretchedly at the page. "Cared?" said Moore. Jimmy Caird was one of Moore's enemies. He was also the bosom friend of Moore's son Donald. Moore never felt at ease with Caird. He spoke in a casual and superior way. "That's right," said Moore. "Now, Rigdon, you go on." Rigdon was beginning to look desperate. He gazed into the book, biting his lip. "Get a move on," said Moore. "They haven't got all day. Did you prepare this, Rigdon?"
"Yes, sir," said Rigdon.
"Well, you'd better stay behind afterwards and talk to me about it," said Moore. "Our time's nearly up. Could somebody finish translating? Kurt, what about you? Could you do the last six lines for us?" Kurt cleared his throat.
"Yes," said Moore. He looked at his watch. He saw that the period was nearly ended. Kurt was a good performer.
"Yes," said Moore. "Yes, very nice, Kurt. Thank you. Now you can all go." An immediate chatter broke out, and amid a banking of books and desk tops, there was a rush for the door.
The admonishing of Rigdon took little time, and Moss strode into the corridor. A moment later, he emerged from the center door of what was called Main School into the sunshine and looked about him.